Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, all the way to verse 8. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that he seek Jesus, which was crucified, or who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. The Lord bless his word in the name of Jesus Christ. The crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This morning, we have a fourfold objective in the teaching. I mentioned all of that in the first service. Number one, we wanted to understand man's position before the sacrifice of Christ and God's response. What was man's position? What was the situation? What was God's response? Number two, we are going to understand the objective of the crucifixion and the resurrection. What did God want to achieve in the sacrifice of Jesus at the cross of Calvary? Number three, we wanted to understand the full content of the resurrection life. If Jesus was risen from the dead, and we have been raised from the dead along with him, what did that resurrection life have to offer? Number four, wanted to understand our response and responsibilities to the sacrifice of Christ at Calvary. What's our response? What should our responsibilities be? By way of introduction, I said a couple of things, and it bears repetition or repeating, that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary is the most distinguishing identity of Christianity. It sets Christianity apart from any profession of faith on the earth. It sets Christianity apart from any religion. There is no religion on earth whose founder died for the followers. There are religions whose followers are dying for the founders. But this one, the founder gave his life. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary is the most distinguishing identity. It sets Christianity apart. Number two, we say that the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary reveals to us the character and the heart of God for mankind. More than anything else, reveals the character, reveals the heart of God. God's character of benevolence, God's character of love, God's character of compassion for his own was revealed at Calvary. We said, number three, that the sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary represents the power force, the life force of Christianity. what has powered Christianity from year to year, from generation to generation, from century to century. What has made Christianity not to have been wiped out? Because if it was left for the devil and the forces of the Antichrist, Christianity would not have existed by now. But the life force of Christianity is the resurrection. For one reason or the other, it just keeps going. Keeps going. Can't be buried and remain buried. For as much as Jesus Christ resurrected, Christianity can never be buried. Number four, the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary is the transformative power of Christianity. The transformative power. I used to have a friend in secondary school. This young man was a very, very bad boy. Smoker. Then, all manner. When God led me to Christ, when I rededicated my life in the 12th of May, 1986, he was my first target. I went for him. Went to his house. Preached to him. Led him to Christ. This young man became so transformed. Transformed by the power of the gospel. That he became a rural, remote missionary. Went to places where Christ has not been preached. He had to ride on mules, donkeys. Go places where car can't go. That was how transformed this young man became. From who I just described to a village missionary by the transformative power of Calvary. Nothing changes character like the power of the cross. Other religions may give you rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, but Christianity changes your life. Am I speaking to somebody here at all? The power of the cross changes your life. And I see the life of somebody changing here today. You believe, you are that one, say loud, amen. You are that one, shout the loudest, amen. Now, what was man dealing with before God responded? Number one, the position of man was the fatality of man's fall. Man fell fatally. You know how they say something, somebody fell fatally? How that somebody fell from a building, God forbid, on his head, on the tummy, and they had terrible or blunt abdominal injuries? That kind of a thing. Man fell fatally by the connivance of Satan, eating the fruit that God said he should not eat. Wages of sin is death. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Man fell fatally. Secondly, it was the plurality or the multiplicity of the effect of sin. That was what man was dealing with. Apart from the fall of man in sin, man was dealing with the consequences of sin. Sickness, struggle, poverty, satanic oppression, bondage, captivity. Man was dealing with the plague of premature death that man was dealing with before Calvary. Number three, which I said we're going to deal with in this service, was the destiny of doom for man. That is, the future was not clear. The future wasn't clear for man. Because after the fall of man, God drove man from the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 23 to verse 24. Genesis 3, 23 to verse 24. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Move, get out of here. A man was stepped out of the garden of God's presence into a future of uncertainty. And I'm sure there may be those here today who identify with that. But your change of story is here. Say a loud amen. And number four was the eternity of man's loss. If Jesus did not come, man would have been forever lost. I would have been forever lost. But for your love, I would have been forever lost. But for your grace, I would have been forever lost. But for your love, I would have been forever lost. But for your grace, I can't pay you, Lord. I can't pay you, Lord. There's nothing I can give that makes any sense. You pulled me many times at the verge of danger. You pulled me many times at the verge of pain. You pulled me many times from the pit of hopelessness. You pulled me many times when there was none to help. I can't pay you, Lord. I can't pay you, Lord. There's nothing I can give. Hey! That makes any sense. I can't pay you, Lord. I can't pay you, Lord. There's nothing I can do that makes any sense. Forever lost. Look at that in Daniel chapter 12 and in verse 2. He said, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Everlasting, everlasting, lasting forever. Revelation chapter 12 and in verse 8. Revelation chapter 12 and in verse 8. The Bible said, 21 and in verse 8. Revelation 21 and in verse 8. It said, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That was where we belonged. Revelation chapter 14 verse 11. If Jesus did not come and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever received the mark of his name. If Jesus did not come, the smoke of our torment will be ascending to heaven forever and ever. In Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 41, Matthew 25 and in verse 41 is the eternity of loss. Then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Fire that lasts forever. Prepared for the devil and his angels. There was the eternity of man's loss. Man was meant to be lost forever until Jesus came. This was the position. But what is the response? What did man experience? Number one, the response of God was the reality of God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The reality of God's love. We saw that in the first service. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8, an additional passage here. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8, he said, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were not planning to become Christians. We were not planning to serve God. We were still sinners. God commended his love to us and he saved us. The reality of God's love. Number two is the immensity of God's gift. So immense. Very, very versatile. We read in Romans chapter 8 verse 32, he that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? The immensity of God's gift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 21 to 23, additional scripture. 1 Corinthians 3, 21 to 23, it said, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether it's Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, life or death or things present, things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ and Christ is God's. That is when God gave his son Jesus, everything else that we will need came with Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Shout the loudest hallelujah. I am here this morning because of the immensity of God's gift. If you ask me, when did you come back from London? Every time we come from a program, we come straight to the altar to pray, especially a crusade program. And thank God, we came to the altar to pray from the crusade in London by 5 a.m. this morning. We landed about almost 4:30, drove here straight. Immensity of God's love. I won't tell details of stories. The immensity of God's gift. Number four response is the certainty of God's plan. When God makes a plan, when God says a thing, you can go to sleep. It must come to pass. In Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15, when man fell, God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. It, the serpent shall bruise your head and thou shalt bruise his heel. It shall bruise thy head. It shall bruise, that is the seed of the woman, shall bruise the head of the serpent. And the serpent shall only scratch his heel. Maybe that was responsible for the nails. This prophecy came in the Garden of Eden. And it came to pass. Revelation chapter 13 verse 8. And all they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So, the Lamb of God that was slain 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary was actually in the mind of God slain from the foundation of the world. The plan for human redemption actually began from the foundation of the world. And even though it tarried, it came to pass. In Isaiah chapter 46 verse 10 and also verse 16, he said, alright, if you start from verse 9, he said, I am the Lord and there is none else. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Everything I have said must come to pass. In verse 16. Verse 16 of Isaiah 46. Everything I have said must come to pass. Isaiah 46 verse 16. Is there any challenge there? Everything I have said must come to pass. I declare, I prophesy to somebody, what God has spoken concerning your life must come to pass. The plan of God for your life must come to pass. If you are a believer, you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Say after me, say the plan of God for my life shall come to pass. Say it shall come to pass.
It shall come to pass. The plan of God for my life shall come to pass. Now, verse 11b, sorry about that. Verse 11b says, calling the ravenous bird from the east. The man that executed my counsel here from a far country here. I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have proposed it. I will also do it. When God created man in his image and created man to rule and dominate the earth and created man in his image, and Satan came to spoil that plan by introducing sin in the earth, God still returned back to his original plan. One thing I know about God is that the people of God may fail, but the plan of God cannot fail. People may fail, but plans can fail. The purpose of God cannot fail. I announce to somebody here today, on this Resurrection Sunday morning, the purpose of God for your life shall come to pass. You believe that? Say loud, amen. Take your seat. And finally, God's response is the finality of God's cure. God brought a final solution. In the Old Testament, there was the blood of lambs and the blood of goats and the blood of rams that was temporarily cleansing the guilt of people. But God decided that there must be one final solution, one final cure to the problem of man. And that was the sacrifice of Jesus. In John chapter 19 verse 30, we saw in the first service, where and when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. When he said, "It is finished," the devil could not say, "To be continued." Woo! Somebody say, "It is finished." It is finished. Every matter, say it, every matter of my life in the course of heaven is finished. Every claim of the devil over my life is finished. Every ancestral or family transaction fighting my destiny, it is finished. It's a final work. It is not to be continued. Listen, there is nothing God needs to do about your life, about your case, that has not been done. God will not have to send another Jesus Christ to come and die on the cross of Calvary before you can be free. The only one, the one and only Jesus Christ that has been sent is enough for your complete and permanent freedom. Hey! The devil cannot do otherwise. The solution has been offered. You believe that? Say louder, amen. You believe that? Say louder, amen. Lift your right hand, say in the name of Jesus, the matter of my life and destiny before the course of heaven, it's a finished matter. Concluded matter. Give the Lord the praise to take your seat. One more scripture. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 9. The Bible said, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second." Verse 10. "By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Once and for all. Not once and again. Once and for all. Not once and to be continued. Once and for all. If you look at verse 12, it goes further. "But this man, after he has offered one sacrifice for sins forever." There is no need for a second sacrifice for sin. There is no need for a third sacrifice for sin. And the consequences of sin. He offered one and forever.
So if there is an affliction in your body that is rooted either in Adamic iniquity or in personal transgression, the sacrifice to delete it was offered. And today, the answer is in your hands. Let's read on. He offered one sacrifice. Forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. From there, expecting till his enemies have been made his footstool. One sacrifice forever. From henceforth, expecting until all his enemies are under his foot. He's not going to do another thing to bring the enemies under. What needs to bring the enemy under has already been done. Somebody say aloud, amen. It's the finality of Christ's sacrifice. Having said all of that, you are going to rise out from here with faith today, believing that God will not need to send another Jesus Christ for that HIV, hepatitis to be cleared out of your life. He has already sent the one and the only Jesus. Say aloud, amen. Let's rush very quickly. What was the objective? What is the objective of Calvary? The objective of the sacrifice of Christ, number one, is the restoration of man's relationship with God. Man had relationship breakdown. In the Garden of Eden, man was driven from God. The restoration of man's relationship with God. Number two, the reversal of the consequences of sin. Sickness, premature death, satanic oppression, those consequences, Jesus came to reverse them. And in your life today, I declare them reversed. Number three, the rescue of man's soul from eternal damnation. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Jesus died so you don't end in hell. He died so we don't spend eternity with Satan the devil. It is the rescue of man's soul. Number four is the restoration of God's glory and purpose back to man. The fall of man was the loss of glory. We read that already. All sinned and fell short of the glory of God. But the Bible says Christ in you, Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, Christ in you is the hope of glory, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, Christ in me, is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. His assignment is to bring us to glory. Romans chapter 8 verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he glorified. Your destiny and my destiny is a destiny of glory, a destiny of shining, a destiny of stardom. I announce, I declare, I prophesy to somebody here, in the name of Jesus, glory shall be your portion. Every trace of shame and reproach, I declare it cancelled, cleaned out, and deleted. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Hallelujah. The restoration of God's glory. Are we continuing? Number five is the release of divine life back to man. Life. John chapter 10 verse 10. The thief came to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John chapter 14 verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible said, in the Garden of Eden, the Bible, God told Adam and Eve, the day you eat the fruit, that day you shall die. So there was spiritual death. But when man came to Jesus, or when Jesus, God sacrificed on the cross of Calvary for man, spiritual life. Hallelujah. Can somebody lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for your gift of life. Thank you for resurrection life. You believe that? Say loud, amen. And that life came in the resurrection. Look at the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 4. And then we'll go to the next level and draw the conclusion. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 4. It said, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Lift your right hand and say, I am resurrected with Jesus. Say it, I have been resurrected with Jesus. I have the resurrection life inside of me. I have the resurrection life. Everybody read this passage with me. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 and 2. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Place it on the screen. 1, 2, go. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. Hallelujah! There is the Spirit of life inside you. There is the resurrection life inside you. There is the resurrection life inside you. The spirit of death and of the dead is not permitted to walk in your life. You believe that? Say aloud, amen. Take your seat. Now, what is the content of the resurrection life? I identified 10 things. 5 in the first service. Number 1, it is newness of life. Resurrection life is what makes your life new. You embrace Jesus in reality. And people who knew you before can't recognize you. There is a definite change. There is a great change since I'm born again. There's a great change since I'm born again. There is a great change since I'm born again. There is a great change since I'm born again. Do you know the second line? The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to say, I say them no more. The place I used to go, I go there no more. There is a great change since I'm born again. Hallelujah! If that is not your story, then that change is not genuine. The newness of life. Number 2 is victorious life. A life that can be defeated by the devil. A life that can be defeated by the forces of hell. Victorious. And we are victorious. Yes, we are victorious. Glory be to God who has given us victory. Hallelujah. We are victorious. Ele, we are victorious. Glory be to God who has given us victory. Alleluia, alleluia. Hey, alleluia, alleluia. Owo fu yolu Jehovah. Enojo yale la lo. Victorious. We are victorious. Oh Lord, we are victorious. Glory be to God, who has given us victory. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Look at what he said in Revelation chapter 1. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. I'm victorious over hell and over death. It's the victorious life. Number three is the limitless life. The life of Jesus Christ that could enter into a room without doors. When the doors were closed after the resurrection. Limitless life. Nothing stops you. Nothing stops you. You are not stoppable. You are not hinderable. Number four is abundant life. The life of plenty. In John chapter 21 verse 3 to verse 6. Peter went a fishing. He entered into a ship and that night he caught nothing. Now this is after the resurrection. The morning was come. Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any food? They said, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Keep reading. Keep reading. And then the disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. They just passed there. Nothing was there. They returned. Supply has a... Have you ever seen where fire is made, fish is on it, bread is on it? Hola, hola. It's an abundant life. A life of lacklessness. Men say they are cast down. You are saying there is a lifting up. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Number five is mysterious life. Very mysterious. Can't be explained. Like the movement of the wind. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof, you can't tell where it's coming and where it's going. That is how someone who is born of God is. Mysterious. Can't be explained. One day I was walking at home. I think it was a razor blade or something caught my hand slightly. Bleeding. And I pressed it. One of my children saw me. Say, so you are like us. I cannot recover from it. I said, what? In this house? Me and you live here together. All these years. What are you talking about? I said, no, I'm just trying to find out. I don't know what she has observed and experienced. She was surprised, opened her eyes. I don't know what she has experienced at home and experienced in church that drew her to the conclusion that this, my father, may not be like us until she saw blood. Hallelujah. There is something about you, if you are connected to the resurrection life, that even some closest to you may not understand. It's mysterious life. Number six is divine life. The life of God. The God kind of life. The Zoe life. John chapter 14 verse 6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The God kind of life. What is not permitted in God is not permitted in you. Number seven is what I call the sickless life. Or sickness conquering life. In Romans chapter 8 verse 11, it says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by your spirit, by his spirit that dwells in you. It's not as if sickness may not attempt to come, but it has no power to remain. It has no power. It has no power. It has no license. Somebody say amen. First Peter chapter 2 verse 24. The Bible said himself took our infirmities, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. If you are healed, then it means you is healed. And you will be healed. And everyone who came in here today with any trace of sickness, affliction in your body, they are cleaned out right now in the name of Jesus. As we take the communion on this resurrection day, they are cleaned out of your system in the name of Jesus.
We had a very, very humbling testimony in London. Metastatic adenocarcinoma of the lungs, spread to the liver, spread to the brain. 2 years ago, this lady is on the road to death, paralyzed. She stood in London with bilateral thromboembolism, pulmonary hypertension, and then deep vein thrombosis on both legs.
Pulmonary thrombosis.
That woman was standing and jumping. Cancer spread until it spread to the brain. What do you do? How do you handle that?
They revoked her driver's license.
They stopped her from everything. It's like you are ready to die. They now return back the driver's license. In the name of Jesus, whatever my Father has not planted in your body, in your life, in your system, I declare they are cleaned out right now. Say amen like you are a believer.
A louder believer, say amen. Number 8 is the liberated life. The life that cannot be bound. The life that cannot be chained. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17. Say the Lord is our spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom, there is deliverance. John chapter 8 verse 32. You shall know the truth, and that truth is a person. His name is Jesus. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36. And if the Son of Man has made you free, you are free indeed. Somebody say liberated. That is what Calvary, that is what the life of Jesus offers you. So I stand and I curse every ancestral curse, every generational curse, every family curse, every power of witchcraft, the occult, whatever is working against your life that is not of God, on this resurrection Sunday morning, I declare that yoke is broken. That curse is broken. That power is broken. You believe me? Say loud amen.
Finally. All right, number 9 is the death conquering life. Death. Premature death. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9. The Bible said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the sake of suffering death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He tasted death. Premature death. He died young for you,
to live long. In verse 14 of the same Hebrews chapter 2, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death, verse 15, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He died on the cross to break the fear of death, to break the death you fear. Am I speaking to anybody here? I decree today in the name of Jesus, you shall fulfill your days. Say amen like a believer. You shall fulfill your days. You shall fulfill your days. Shout the loudest amen. Death conquering life. Finally, this meaningful life. Life where it makes sense. Did you hear what I said? Life that what? Life where it makes sense. This life makes sense. This person's life makes sense. It's not a wasted life. Not a wasteable life. Quality life. Enviable life. Worthy life. Not a worthless one. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Life that makes sense. I don't know the number of compliments I received on the way. Yes, on the way coming. All the way. All manner of people. So you are dressed to handle the night. So your dressing is something else. Are you telling me? So one once said, you look like a mayor. In the gospel sense, we are. And all of that is not just a physical attempt. It comes from the inside. It's an overflowing something. It makes sense. Life will make sense. Make sense where we're. You stand in front of the mirror. You don't hate what you see. You take steps. You don't hate the steps. You are confident not in your human resources, but confident of it, a divine resources you are connected to. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? When you are connected to God, you are an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. Excellencies on earth will come, they will go. You day. And if you happen to be a double excellency, an excellency in the kingdom of men, and an excellency in the kingdom of heaven, then your relevance is perpetual. Somebody say amen. Please, I plead with you to go for meaningful life. Quality life. Valuable life. John chapter 10 verse 10 again. I've come that I might have life and have it more meaningfully. Purposeful life. Hallelujah. It's a new day for somebody. Who is that person? Who is that person? Who is that person experiencing the resurrection today? You are shout the loudest, amen. Very, very quickly, what is your response and your responsibility? Five things. If God loves us so much, gave his son to die for us. Even when we didn't look for him. Response number one. Receive the love of God with great appreciation. If you ever remember to thank God for your car, or thank God for your health, or thank God for your life, physical life, please don't forget to thank God for the sacrifice of Jesus. That should make the first appreciation. Thank God for the fact that there is a hope of eternity with God in heaven. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the grace for sonship. Thank God. Let every single day of your life move you into appreciation. You know, there is a passage in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5. Let's read verse 3. He said, blessed, that is glory, adoration, be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who or which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us, or born us again. Begotten again is born again. Made us to be born again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's bless him. Let's honor him. Let's appreciate him for giving us hope beyond the scope of human endeavor. Receive his love with appreciation. Number two, reflect his love to your generation. Let people encounter love when they encounter you. Let there be something about you that will remind people about God. Reflect that love. Don't allow your atmosphere to be toxic. Don't be a people hater. Don't be recruited into the hatred of people. It is the character of Satan. Some places we go, I feel like shaking everybody's hand and blessing everybody until they almost want to pull your hand off. Yes. Yesterday in London, I had to tell them, don't hold it like this. This is enough. Like this is enough. Because I experienced that with some handshake. And incidentally, it is from people you never expect to have power. It was these two or three women held the hand as if. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Let your world, your family, your children, your brothers, your sisters, your loved ones, let them experience your love. Let them experience the love of God. Number three, release your life unto his pleasure and his service. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. Revelation 4:11. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Release your life. Lord, here is my life. Take my life, Lord, and use it for your purpose in the earth. Take my life. He died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:15. So we can live for him. and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. I don't have any license to live for myself, but to live for him who died for me. But unto him, we died for them and rose again. Release your life. Number four, release your best for his purpose. Your very, very best. Philippians chapter 3 verse 7. Paul the apostle said, all the things that were gained to me, I donated them to Christ, counted them as loss. Your very best. If God gave us his best, we should give God nothing less than the best of our lives, the best of our time, the best of our resources, the best of all we have got. Young people, don't waste your life before you surrender your life to God. Give him the juicy part of your youth. Give him the tender part of your life and see what he will do with you. Our best. When people are arguing tight, it is a function of a lack of understanding of God, a lack of commitment to God, and a lack of relationship. You don't talk tight is kindergarten. It's minimum, basic, barest minimum. There are people who are not talking tight at all. They have left that realm. There are those who give God all that entered. God demanded it. They released all of it, including the speaker. Not once, not twice. Frequently. Hallelujah. Our best. And finally, let's reconnect our world to God. Reconnect our world to God. There is somebody who must know God because you knew God. The woman of Samaria said, come see a man that told me everything I did. Shouldn't this be the Messiah? The whole city followed her. How many people have you connected to God since your connection to God? How many people have known God because you have known God? It is a new day. It is a new day. Lift up your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. All the glory, glory, glory to the Lord. All glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, Hosanna, 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 blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, thank you. Elion, thank you. We're going to pray shortly based on what we have received. But leading people to Christ, connecting people to God, is what puts us under pressure from worry. Where I had a worry interpreter, remember? To Uyo, to Lagos, to Calabar, to Oka, to Maiduguri, to Pakistan, to Togo, to Ghana, to London yesterday, to Toronto, Canada, to Maryland, Baltimore in June, to Birinin Kebbi, Kebbi State, and to Gombe, Gombe State. Going to nations, going to cities, going to middle-level places, and going to rural places, which was the first one we started this year, Ida Kogi State. Oga Yolo came from there. Take a look at the London, England of Friday night. Quickly, we have two clips, sharp clips. That's right. What the Lord has done for me, I have no words of expression except to shout hallelujah.
We came particularly with a great burden for the rescue and the restoration of the glory of the United Kingdom. This land was called, and I'm sure it's still called, the Great Britain. There is a reason for the meaning of that word, great. I will tell you one thing. The greatness of the Great Britain was rooted, has been rooted in their rich foundation of Christianity. I came here with a mantle of vengeance to say to the devil, in the name of Jesus, you will not succeed in England. You will not succeed in our generation. You will not succeed under our watch. See over 15 people with situations with their shoulder, pain, crooked from an accident, that God is healed right now.
I had this accident, and because of my new job here, the pain came up here, and it's been very severe. Even as we are dancing, I would still stand up. Everybody around me looked. I was dancing. But after the war came, I did like this, and I could move. And my sister said, you can't keep it. Come out of this.
Give the Lord a praise.
The glory of God, I can move back.
You came here with a crutch or a walking frame or a walking stick. With a broken bone, paralyzed leg, broken arm, broken body, your healing is confirmed. In the name of Jesus, I command the pain to go, command the paralysis to go. A medical doctor, paralyzed and crippled by the same affliction, is meant to help other people from.
See, his wife is a nun. See her here.
Show me how you came here, staggering like that.
Oh my God.
Show the devil now how you can move.
Hey!
Are you just...
She was attacked by an autoimmune disease.
Autoimmune disease?
Yes, sir. The second leg, the toes are all off.
Oh,
on this leg, the lower from the ankle is cut off.
Even in the kitchen, she had to be on this
scooter.
To So they come down now and show the devil you can move. The day must not come. Where Smith Wigglesworth will be in heaven, and John Wesley will be in heaven, and Charles Wesley will be in heaven, and they will be saying, this was not a Great Britain we left. England must be saved. Ireland must be saved. Scotland must be saved. Wales must be saved. All the islands of this land must be saved. And that England shall be filled and saturated with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And by extension, the whole of Europe shall be filled and saturated with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What's happening? Young boy pushing the wheelchair that brought in. Are you just sleeping like that, England? Generation on fire. It takes pledges on fire to set territories on fire. And every generation is responsible for their own generation. The Lord spoke something to me very seriously a few days ago. Until I realized that many times we are the people we are actually waiting for. How I wish Archbishop Benson was alive. And God said, you are the Archbishop Benson of your generation. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? He said, you are the Elijah of your own generation. Lord, set me on fire to set my land on fire. That's right. And when you are here, Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here. Lord, you are here. The praise, we have several clips of this. Stand up on your feet 1 minute, and we'll be taking the communion for the Easter Sunday service very shortly, not now. But lift your voice and say after me, and say after me, say, Father, thank you for today, for this resurrection.
For this resurrection.
Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, I am asking.
Lord, I'm asking.
That the power of resurrection.
That the power of resurrection.
Will be real in my life.
Will be real in my life.
That the resurrection life.
The resurrection
will flow through me.
Today.
In the name of Jesus. Go ahead, speak to God. The resurrection life. I pray for the realization of the resurrection life. The life of Jesus. Be real in me today. The life of Jesus. Be real in me today.
the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus. Be real in me today. The life of Jesus, be real. In Jesus' precious name.
If Jesus died for the rescue of our souls and died for our souls, then it is an abomination for human beings to be killing other human beings at the rate we are seeing in Nigeria. We have started declaring, and we shall see the answer. We declare that their weapon will turn against each other. When was it? 2 days ago? On the 17th, it was reported, that was Friday, that two rival groups, was it in Kaduna, turned their weapons against each other. The rival killer groups, they turned their weapons against each other and deleted themselves. All that security forces went was to excavate their bodies after they have wasted themselves. We shall press on. Let division come against in the midst of the killers. Let their weapons turn against each other. Amen. Lift your voice and say, Father, we ask that the blood of Jesus will nullify and counter the craving of every blood-sucking devil in Nigeria. In the name of Jesus, we ask that the blood of Jesus will counter every blood sacrifice in Nigeria, in the nations of Africa. In the name of Jesus, and we ask that the weapons of destroyers will be turned against themselves. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, go ahead and speak to God. Let the weapons of destroyers be turned against themselves. Precious name.
Amen.
The Lord heard and answered us in Jesus' name. Amen. Lift your hands everywhere you are, please. This will be a very great day to hand over one's life to Jesus. A very great day to receive forgiveness of sins. A very great day to ask that Jesus be Lord over our lives. Anywhere you are, on this resurrection day, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not living according to God's purpose and principles. I want to be forgiven my sins. I want Jesus to be Lord over my life. Anywhere you are in that capacity, pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, louder, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. From today I go forward ever and backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You pray that prayer, anywhere you are, can I see your hand up? You pray the prayer, wave it on this resurrection day. Wave it, let me see your hands. Excellent. God bless you. Pick your Bibles and your bags and step forward and let's receive you. While they are doing so, let's take communion position as well. Quickly, the songs. Just quickly come forward here. I'll give the count of 20. You're on the gallery. Find your way all the way down and let's receive you. God bless you. God bless you. Come forward. The rest of us can see that. coming, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, step forward still and join us. Tired of smoking, of drinking, of womanizing, of gambling, of prostitution, masturbation, pornography, gambling, fraud. You're not bad as a person, but bad things tied your life. Lying, cheating. The love of God is reaching to you. God is not condemning you. He wants to cleanse you. Quickly stand on your feet and step forward here. And let us receive you. I'll give another count of 10. Born, born, born again. Thank God I'm born again. 1.
Born, born, born again.
2.
Thank God I'm born again.
3.
Born, born, born again. Thank God
4.
I'm born again.
I'm born again. Born, born, born again. Thank God I'm born again. Congratulations. I welcome you. Place your hand on your chest. And I pray for you today. I ask that the hold of the enemy be broken off your life. Grace to live for God is be released upon you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hold on 1 minute. Have we given out the communion? All right, keep going. Stretch your two hands in front of you. Let's take the offering out of the way. I pray upon your hands. And I declare that the harvest will look for you from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Jesus' precious name. Amen.